Are you two boys right there in the back row?
Yes, thank
you. Good.
We heeded your message last week.
Good. They were just poking each other when I talked about having a brain. Not getting nasty, just in a school teacher mode, we'd sit between you. I've got a loud voice. Righto. Some of you would know that our friend Faith... Oh, yes, right, children, you can start. And at the end of my speaking, I'll ask you to all come down and just quickly hold up what you've done so we can see. Some of you would know that our friend Faith, who we used to bring to church in the wheelchair, died a couple of weeks ago. And we had her funeral on Monday. And Faith had actually put some instructions for her funeral in an envelope. And some of them we obeyed and some we didn't. And but she had two readings of scripture. And I used those two scripture readings simply to talk about followers of Jesus or people who were not followers. The sections of scripture don't matter. But I happen to say it's actually as if Faith has given us a special gift, even in death. She has left us with a special gift. Well, it was interesting after the service because a guy came up to me and said, I don't believe that. I don't believe she's left us a gift. In fact, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe it. I'm an atheist. And he was very nice about it. And of course, I was very nice to him. But and we just talked for a couple of minutes, and that was fine. But this week, as I've been preparing and thinking about Psalms, I was thinking, is he more honest than we are? You see, he says, I don't believe the Bible. That's it. Now, we want to say, we do believe the Bible. But actually, do we? I mean, have we taken notice of what the Bible says? Do we take time to read it? Do we just say, well, I've got it and that's good? But actually, do we take it in? Do we read it? Do we absorb it? Now, those of you who've been with us for the last couple of weeks would realise, I don't want that to blow away, would realise that we started in Psalm 1 with this tree and this chaff. There were only six verses in Psalm 1, but the psalm said to us, are you like this or are you like this? And if you're like this, well, your life should show it. Now, you see, the assumption is that if our life shows the reality of Jesus, we know his word. It was interesting, the section of scripture that Martin read that said, and continue in it, or obey it, or follow it. There's nothing about just knowing something without doing it in Christian life. We need to follow it through. Now, last week, we had printed for us some incredible characteristics of the living God on the back of our notice sheet from Psalm 145, and we purposely had them printed so that we could put that in our Bible and look at them. This is the God in whom we believe and trust. This is the God, not just a make-up fairy story God. This is the God we believe in, the God of Scripture. So if we believe in this God, then we need to share that. And that's why every person is important, and that's where we are today in Psalm 139. Every one of us is important. Everyone in this neighbourhood is important to God. And we need to be sharing that great news. I was just smiling to myself when we were out... And I was reflecting, delivering the little Christmas leaflets, you know, saying there's going to be a special church service here. And I thought, well, there's a special church service for everyone who takes the leaflet. But if you're a only Australia Post, well, then it's really not for you. No, God isn't interested in you because you're an only Australia Post person, so we don't put one in your letterbox. How are people going to hear, friends? Well, they're going to hear because we are their neighbour. That's how they're going to hear. We are their neighbour. And that's how they're going to hear about Jesus, because we believe in the God who does the impossible, and we are living our lives like trees whose roots are deep down into the water of the living God. So we've got neighbours and they need to hear about Jesus. How do I inherit eternal life? Well, I love God with everything I've got, and I love my neighbour, and it might be someone like this bloke on the screen who is nameless. And that's how they hear about Jesus. We need to get off our pews and get out, don't we? The world needs to be won, friends. We're 24/7 evangelists, and we're 24/7 full-time missos, aren't we, Martin? Yes. Yes, Colin, we are. Yeah. Hey, it's wonderful to pray for Jan Mountney. We know her from Alice Springs. It's wonderful to pray, but they're missions in different parts of the world. We're missionaries where we are. That's why we're here, to let people know about Jesus. Now, let's have a look at Psalm 139, because this is where we learn how important we are to God. So important to God. So important. They never make these things big enough. No matter what church you're in, the lectern's never big enough. Right. So let's think first of all, and today you've got another notice, and for those of you who take notes, you've got it here on the fig leaf or the olive leaf or whatever it is, and there are four little sections. The all-knowing God who loves us, the ever-present God who goes with us, the all-creative God who empowers us, and the holy God who changes us. Right, so let's have a quick look at these four sections. First of all, God knows everything about me. He is the all-knowing God in those first six verses. Lord, you've searched me, you know me when I sit up, when I sit down, you know my thoughts, you know my path, you know my words, you're behind me, you're before me. Oh, it's incredible who God is. God is all-knowing, and it's a big, long biblical word which says omnipotence, which means God knows everything and sees everything. So it becomes important that we are aware that God knows us and yet loves us. You know, sometimes I don't even think I know myself. Do you know everything about yourself, Mary? Pardon? Yes or no? You don't know. No. But God does. Isn't that wonderful? He's acquainted with our walking. He's acquainted with everything about us. And yet he still loves us. It's wonderful. Let's be careful though. Because God knows beginning and end, it doesn't mean that he forces the issue or takes our free will. It's just that because he's God, he knows. He knows the decisions we're going to make. It doesn't mean that he pushes that decision. It doesn't mean he forces the issue. It doesn't mean that everything then has to be according to that way. We still have our free will. We can still sin. But because he knows beginning and end, he's Alpha Omega, it means that he knows what's going to happen, which is so wonderful. And what's so amazing is that even that, he loves us. Now, I know there's a saying that parents have got eyes in the back of their head, but they don't know everything, do they? And we only know what our children want to tell us when they get to a certain age anyhow. So we don't know everything. And we're so well aware, aren't we, when we look at a little section like this, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. It's beyond. So isn't it wonderful and incredible? It's amazing, Anne, isn't it? The God who knows us still loves us. Isn't that amazing? It is. Yes, Anne, it is. It's amazing that God still loves us. Wonderful. Because even sometimes our parents, I think, are a bit iffy, aren't they? You know? Oh, hang on a minute. But God continues to love us. And this is what it says. Now, when we're confronted with a God like this, why would we want to get away from him? Why would we want to get away from a God who knows us, even knows the worst bits about us, and loves us, even before words are on our tongue? And he's present with us wherever we go. Are we happy with that? Are we happy that we have an omnipresent God who goes with us everywhere? Are there places, sometimes even in our thoughts, but are there places that we would prefer he didn't come? It's interesting, isn't it? But he's there because he loves us so much he wants to be with us. And because we love him so much, we want him with us, don't we? Yes. We want him with us, and we're conscious, aren't we, that God wants to be with us and we want him with us in every situation. But, of course, it's as old as sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they want to do? They wanted to hide from God. And isn't that true with us sometimes? That sometimes when we sin, or when we're going somewhere that we think, this is a bit iffy, we'd prefer to actually hide or separate from God. And he says, I just want to be with you. I want to be your protector. I want to be with you all of the time. And the Bible says there, where can I go from your spirit? Well, where can we go? We can't go anywhere that is outside of the presence of God, because God is eternal and God is there. If I go to heaven, verse 8 says, you're there. If I go down to the bottom of the earth, if I go in the morning, if I go in the sea, I can't get away, the psalmist is saying. But we want to say, why would we want to? Why would we want to get away from God? Your hand will lead me and you'll hold me. Isn't it wonderful? Even in some of the situations of life, we want God with us holding our hand. In fact, we want God putting his arms around us and holding us tight, because he's God and he loves us. And then verse 11 is an interesting verse, because it says, if darkness covers me. Now, some people have interpreted that as depression, and they've said, even when I am depressed, God is present. When that black dog covers me, God is there. How wonderful. God has not forsaken me. Distress, depression, even in those dark moments of life, where is God? God is still there. You know, some people have said, where was God when this terrible accident happened? Where was God when my son or daughter were killed? Well, you don't want to give a glib answer. No one needs a Bible verse and a glib answer. But we're all well aware, when we stop and think, that God was there when his son was crucified, and that was done unjustly. So where is God? Well, he's with us in every circumstance of life. But there are times when perhaps we don't want him so close, and we need to be careful. So he is all-knowing and he still loves us. He's everywhere present and he wants to be with us. And then he is all-creative. And that means he gives to us empowering energy through his Spirit. Now, creation, yes. And even me, yes. And this is where the psalmist goes into some fairly personal stuff. Because, he said, you formed me, my inward parts, in verse 13, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. How incredible. How incredible. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. Isn't this a wonderful section of scripture for someone who wasn't wanted? And sometimes you meet people who say, my parents told me, you know, well, really, I wasn't wanted. This is a wonderful section of scripture for people who come up for adoption, for people who are neglected or who have had a dreadful upbringing, to be reminded that God knew about them, or God knows about us, even, probably even before our parents realised that they'd created a child. Before the human aspect was involved, God knew what was going on. They are wonderful words of assurance for people who were in those olden days were called illegitimate if someone was born outside of marriage. So anyone who's had a rotten upbringing, these words are wonderful because they say, to God you were known even before your parents realised what was happening. You were wonderfully, wonderfully made. The eye of God in verse 16, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written every one, the days that were formed of me. How incredible. But that's for all of us. Isn't it amazing to think that God knew about us at that stage of life? And he knows about us now, and as I've said, he still loves us and he wants to be with us, but he knew about us right then. He knew about us right, as it were, at the instant start, and maybe even before. Just incredible. How precious, in verse 17, to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum. Well, who can count the thoughts of God? Sometimes I don't even know what I'm thinking myself. So who can count the thoughts of God? Amazing. And yet the psalmist is almost blown away with the incredible nature of God and what he knows. Wonderful, wonderful verses. J.B. Phillips, in his translation, has said, for all of these mysteries, I thank you. For the wonders of myself, I thank you. And for the wonders of your works, I thank you. Isn't that incredible? All of these mysteries, for the wonders of myself and the wonders of your works. So God is all creative. If we look around, isn't it amazing how we're all different? We've all sort of got a head and hair and all, but it's all different. And we all can sort of, oh, that's that person, that's that person. And, you know, when you go to another country, you look at people in another country and you think, oh, gee, they all look the same. But they don't, because they all know they're all different, the same as when they come here and they say, oh, you Australians all look the same, but we don't. And God's made us, each one. And, I mean, in other parts of Scripture, what does he say? He even knows, well, he knows the hairs on our head. Johnny even knows yours. Yeah. Hasn't got as many to count, but he knows. Yeah. So this is the God we love and who loves us and who believes in us. So haven't we got a wonderful message to tell, Fred? We sure have, that this is the God who loves people. And we've got that message to tell people. God's eye was on you before you were made, and he loves you enough to have given his son for you. So then when we move to the last one, God is holy. This is an interesting little section of scripture because it looks like the psalmist has said, oh, God is wonderful, incredible. He loves me. He's with me. Yes, he empowers me. And I hate those people who hate God. It's what those few verses seem to say. I hate with a perfect hatred. Oh, verse 22. Is this righteous indignation? How dare people hate God, the one who loves them and gave his life for them? How dare they hate him? But isn't it interesting how he finishes up? How he finishes up. Search me, in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We had a lecturer when we were at Bible college and he said, when you pray for the world to be cleaned up, for the rubbish heap of sin to be cleaned up, make sure you're not on it. Right. This is what the psalmist is saying here. I'm indignant about those people who hate God, and it's almost as if God sweeps in and says, ha-ha. And in those two last verses of this Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, just pick up all of the me's and my's. Search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Is there any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting? There's lots of me's. I don't particularly like songs that have a me focus, but this is an incredible challenge. It's a hard prayer to pray. We went home and got on our knees and prayed that prayer. Wow. Search me, God, and know my heart. Ha ha. Try me and know my thoughts. Is there any wicked way in me? Wow. That is a powerful prayer and two verses. But it's God wanting us to be holy. You know, the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. And that doesn't mean going around looking saintly. It means allowing God to change our character to be like him. For some people, it means a U-turn in life. And that's why we need to know the Bible. When I started, I said, that man who said to me, I don't believe it. You see, if we're not doing some U-turns and praying some of these prayers, what's happening? Well, we're probably just ignoring what God's saying. You know, are we more down the track spiritually this week than we were last week? Do we take any notice of what I said last week? Life just went on. Did you take any notice of what I said about the character of God and just ponder how incredible is the God we claim to believe in? Do we? Do we? Search me, God, and know my heart. What am I really on about? Do I really care if my neighbours go to hell? One of my friends said, if he swore in church, the church would have a fit. They'd be more concerned about him swearing than the fact that their neighbour was going to hell. It's interesting, isn't it? Do we have any concern for this neighbourhood? Fine to put a card in a letterbox. But friends, we need to be talking to people. We need to be relating to people. We need to be introducing them to this God who says, every person is important because every neighbour is important. We are so important to God, but so are the people who live next door. So we have a God who knows us and loves us. We have a God who's present with us in every situation. We have a God who is creative and wants to change us, and a God who empowers us. How great is our God? How great Well, there's no one else like him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus. Now, if we're playing hard and fast, or we're playing fast and loose with God, it's very sad, because we have the character of God so clear in Scripture. We need to read it. That man at the funeral might have said, "Don't believe it. He's honest." But friends, we are dishonest if we say we believe it and don't read it. And we are worse, I think, if we don't practice it. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you know us and you still love us. We thank you that there are places perhaps we go in our thoughts and in our actions that we're embarrassed about, but you go with us. We thank you that you have created us and you empower us. May we allow your Spirit to work in us. And we thank you that you are the God who is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we thank you that you are the God who is wanting us to be holy. Thank you that you call us your saints, not because our behaviour is saintly, but because you have set us apart. Father, thank you for who you are. And we pray that those verses may be true for us. Search us, know our heart, know our thought, know our lives. And Father, keep working on us, because we're not perfect and our heart's desire is to be like Jesus. But we thank you that you know that we're formed of dust and we're super weak. So we need your strength. Strengthen us, we pray, through Jesus. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I said we'd have you to come down the front quickly and